Welcome to Burning River Radio. Sorry we took a week off, but it was... I'm Joe Koblitz at Burning River BB on Twitter, and I'm joined, as always, by a whole lot of Lotta at JL underscore baseball on Twitter. Welcome Justin Lotta. And I was missing last week because I've been in San Francisco, or California. I was there for over a week. It's the famous saying, right? It says, I left my wallet in San Francisco.
Ooh. It's like a fun road trip.
I don't want to talk too much about it, but holy shit, is that place expensive. I guess what I wanted to say is I wanted to make an offensive joke for everybody that so people can complain about us. Because that's the goal. And you'll like this one, Justin.
Oh, okay.
There was an old comedian years ago, and I think it might have been a comic bit with like more than one guy. It might have been on a Colin Quinn show years ago or something like 20 years ago. The one guy goes, you know, fat girls really give good blowjobs. Yeah, they have to. And I feel like that's the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland Athletics.
Ooh.
I couldn't think of a more apt description of those two stadiums and teams. But you go there in a parking, $20. The stadium owns all the parking. It's 20 for everybody, no matter where you're sitting. Come in there, you park, you're on site, so you're already there. They had great food everywhere. Their seat, which is a bonus, like to me, and the upper deck section. So where you would normally have a club section, prices. Those are good seats for cheap. So it's like it's an easy way. You get in there. They're very entertaining. They did a great job. It sucked watching the Indians lose there. They got swept.
Yeah.
But I will say I'm not going to talk trash about that stadium anymore. I think been there.
Oakland? No.
No. Coliseum. Yeah, everyone always talks trash about how it's the worst stadium in the world. It is better than US Cellular, which is now guaranteed rate field.
Never
been. I'm going to come up with a full complete rankings of all the stadiums I've ever been to. You guaranteed it's 100 times better than Chicago. Then San Francisco, you have this beautiful ballpark thing, so much more expensive. I said it on Twitter. We got to the ballpark early every day except the last game, and same spot, the first two games. It was $30. But it was $50 each day. I was like, you know what? I'll take $30. You know? And it was right next to the ballpark. It's 20 feet away. It was perfect. The third game, that lot was $100, and we had to drive a mile down the street and park in between two docks. It was very odd. And I just feel like they didn't really do anything. They don't do anything in mid-innings. They don't do anything to... They don't go out of their way for their fans at San Francisco, and I feel like they don't have to. They had 15 years, World Series, and base, who's going to, no matter what, this game that the Indians played was their first non-sellout. For the number, it was like 500 some games. It was ridiculous. So, to do the stuff that Oakland does, and freezing there. God, it's cold.
Yeah, it's always cold at night there here. I think if even in Oakland, it's colder, isn't it? Doesn't sound very fun either way.
I don't know. On the water, which I thought you'd learn from Cleveland, don't put a stadium right on the water. But a lot of people like to do it. And Seattle was right on the water, too, and that place was too cold. And they're in a hassle. I guess I live in the right place.
Oh, sure. I mean,
Arizona
like 120
is the right place for me. Made me miss Chase Field. I was like, why is this? Can we just throw one for a couple days?
You need an air conditioner in your baseball stadium?
Oakland and Chase, too. Yeah, it's nice.
Well, let's stop talking about weather and let's talk about actual sometimes baseball.
I just want to complain. Other than that, the Indians, which really just matches up perfectly well with how they played against the NL West all year. Just to get stuck playing the NL West. That I can never remember. Because I don't remember three teams competing in the West lifetime in the NL. And the two teams that are terrible still beat the Indians.
They still have a chance against the Rockies.
Okay, they split the two against Colorado.
No, they got swept, but they have two more at home.
Got two more. Well, that's exciting. I mean,
that home and home rivalry with the Rockies that we have to have every year.
It's not every year.
I was kidding.
Just
they should never have a home and home rivalry with Pittsburgh.
Last year they had the Nationals home and home. There's one team every year, and they play different divisions. I do like – you have to play the same divisions. I'll say that. The AL – and like AL Central has to play the NL West. Like, that makes sense. It's fair. It would not be fair if you're playing a hand-picked – like, let's say Cleveland was playing Pittsburgh and something like that, or the Mets. I don't know. Like, just pick a couple teams because they're closer by, so they're not going to play San Francisco. And maybe Minnesota, because they're further west, would have to play the Dodgers and Diamondbacks, who are two of the best teams in baseball. Like, you have to keep it even when so much relies on winning your division. Really, I mean, a team lost a division by a couple games, and it was because – like, Chicago, the White Sox play the Cubs in their interleague matchup, and the Indians play the Reds. That's a significant advantage right there. If you had more than that, it would probably be too extreme.
Sure.
Yeah, so anyway, they're terrible. I remember I did something on the Diamondbacks a month back, on the Diamondbacks and Dodgers about how great they were. And all three numbers, the Diamondbacks, Dodgers, and Rockies, just crushed the Tigers, the White Sox. They crushed everyone in the division. So it's not like it's just the Indians. That right now, but it could be worrisome down the line because chances are, I think we said this before on the show, there's three teams to me, there's really two teams that are contending for the World Series, for the National League pennant, the Dodgers. Be able to beat the Nationals and the Dodgers, you're not going to be able to win the World Series. So I think, like, as it is, the division, I haven't looked at Fangraphs in a while, but I'm guessing it's near 99% for a playoff berth.
It's still up there, yeah. It's pretty high in the 90s.
It's got to be close for a playoff berth because the other team in the wild card. So I still have not. This entire season, I haven't worried about winning the division one second. They've had that in my mind the whole time, and they're playing better lately. Three in a row. The shitty games.
Yeah.
But then they just won three in a row, so another bad team.
A team they should be beating, yeah.
Maybe this is a situation where the National League is actually better, at least the elite teams in the National League are better than the elite teams in the American League. I have to run some numbers on that to see how they flip head-to-head. I think you could say that the top three teams in baseball are in the NL.
At the same time, it doesn't really matter what the regular season looks like because it doesn't make any sense to compare because once you get in the postseason, nothing matters. We've seen that year over year. I mean,
But that's what I'm saying. But they lost to the Dodgers. They lost two out of three. They lost to the Diamondbacks, all three. And obviously the teams change from time to time, and those are whatever specific pitching matchups you have on a day-to-day basis is what you have at the time. And Clint Kershaw just got hurt again, so that's going to bring them down a peg. You can't really feel sorry for them given how many injuries the Indians have had to deal with over the last 2 years. Yeah. Although it always sucks to see the best pitcher. I'm going to keep calling him the best pitcher in baseball until someone proves me wrong. but yeah, it sucks to see the best player. Yeah, I don't know. Somebody posted something today about, like, maybe 9 of the best pitchers in baseball. And I'm like, there's, like, 4 guys, and then there's a huge drop-off to me. After Kluber's sale, there's a...
Yeah, Verlander's not in that conversation
size cliff
anymore. Yeah. So did you get home in time last night to see the Salazar game?
Talking about trades. And that kind of leads into the second thing is I listened to it on the radio. We were actually on the road for 13 hours.
Exciting.
I listened to it. I was up. It's so weird listening to Tom Hamilton because we complain about Jensen Lewis being statistically... But Tom Hamilton and Rosie are just as... Where Rosie was on by himself, which is the worst time of the game. Like, they're struggling to score runs because they have so few guys with very big RBI totals. And I have that entirely backwards. With high RBI totals to score runs. They aren't getting guys on base and then knocking them in. Like, that's you have it absolutely backwards that RBIs create
runs.
Oh, silly. So it's weird listening to radio broadcast, which is not as I get that it's more emotional. I get it's funner. I get every time that somebody wants to get a home call, they want to get Tom Hamilton. If you're actually listening to a game to try to learn something, they may be worse than STO's broadcast.
Or just actually understand baseball outside of, yeah, you're right. I mean, getting just what's going on in the state on the field.
It's loud noises. Yeah, yes. I think it's loud noises. And the amount of time, I bring it up because Tom Hamilton said approximately 400 times that make a trade because if Danny Salazar pitches well, and then as he was pitching well, the Indians don't need to make a trade because Danny Salazar is pitching well. I'll say, I said the entire time I didn't think the Indians needed to make a trade, and then you'll agree with me on here, and then you'll argue with me on Twitter. When I say something like, I think they might be in the playoffs.
And why not?
On the Twitter. Are you agreeing with me on here again, and then tomorrow you're going to go on Twitter and say I'm an idiot?
No. Well, not, I mean.
Maybe. Was it not you that said that, like, last week? I said that I was fine with Clevinger as my third star, assuming that Salazar wasn't able to come back for whatever reason. Only had 3 pitchers. It was Kluber, Carrasco, and Clevinger. Would I trade a high-level minor leaguer for a third starter to bump back Salazar? And I said I wouldn't.
As long as they get another reliever, I'm fine with
that. Hopefully we wouldn't trade him for a fourth starter. So if you're talking...
You just cut out. I didn't hear what you just said.
Okay, I said go ahead. Continue the thought.
If they get a reliever, I'm fine with Clevinger being the third starter in the playoffs, and then... Obviously, Salazar too. I think it's others that aren't as don't feel as good about Clevinger.
Maybe it was somebody else, but I swear it was you that came back at me with that, and I was surprised because we had talked. Oh, and you didn't say anything at the time. I don't think they need to trade for anybody. There's a thing like the J.D. Martinez, while I was in California, where they said that J.D. Martinez, right before he traded the Diamondbacks, the only other team that was interested was the Indians. And then I hear that, and I'm like, oh, well, that actually would make the team better. a large improvement. So I'd be okay with that. But I wouldn't go out. And my guess is the reason they didn't do it is because they asked them for 10 times the price and prospects that they got out from Arizona because it's inside the division.
Because they can do that, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what you do. You're like, okay, well, if you want him, then you got to pay more because we don't like you guys, essentially. Because it's not like Martinez is ever going to hurt him. He's a free agent at the end of the season. I also feel free agent at the end of the season. I feel public service announcement. Nobody wants to trade for Carlos Santana right now. He's a free agent at the end of the season. The Indians aren't going to trade him.
Yeah,
they're not going to trade him to a contender because why would contenders help each other get better? That makes no sense at all. And no one wants him because he's a free agent at the end of the season. So he's not going to be traded.
That was really weird. There was a report today. Not a report, but Buster Olney saying that the Indians might be interested in upgrading from him. And he didn't really cite a source. He just put in his column that the Indians could possibly, or he was relating the fact they are interested in J.D. Martinez and possibly Jay Bruce as an upgrade to Carlos Santana because he's having a bad year. And then now it's all over Twitter that people think the Indians are interested in reacquiring Mac Napoli and they're going to trade Carlos Santana straight up for him. All those things are just really stupid.
Well, that's very stupid. You would have to have two teams that really believe different things about the players you're talking about. Contenders to trade with each other. There's this year, especially. There's really not very many contenders. So to trade from one contender to another, which, again, is the only person that would want Carlos Santana because he's a free agent, it would have to be. Now, I can see – now, they just played three games in San Francisco and didn't play Carlos Santana in right field at all. I thought that was going to happen at least once. It is an odd-shaped outfield, but it's a really short wall in right, and I feel that they could have hit him out there. At least for one game. But they didn't do that.
He had an ankle injury.
So if with Chisenhall... Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that. You missed stuff at the games. So, but either way, I think if replacing Santana... First thing, they already did that with Encarnacion. And I fully, at the moment, if you really want to talk about 2018, expect Encarnacion to start at first base unless they do something drastic. It's possible they could make another move, sign somebody else. But, I mean, my assumption is Encarnacion starts at first base next year, and that was the plan the whole time. But for this season, if you were to try to do something drastic and find a first baseman, you could potentially play Santana in the outfield again. I mean, you're not going to bench him. You're not going to cut him. He's still one of the more valuable players on the team. And that's why any of the trades don't really make sense to me. It's just such slight improvements. You're going to improve over Brandon Guyer, I guess, would be the weak spot. Of course, today he hit a bases-loaded double. So you're looking at improving over Brandon Guyer, or you're not going to improve over Chisenhall once he gets back. So if you added somebody now, you'd be looking for somebody who would take Guyer's spot now and then maybe play part-time once Chis gets back.
I don't think they do that. I think they're more willing to let Guyer kind of figure it out. And yeah, he seems to have figured it out recently.
That's why I said none of it makes any sense.
It doesn't. The only thing that makes sense is you as a utility player. Not that I don't like Eric Gonzalez, but I mean, I don't know. Would be an upgrade over Eric Gonzalez? Probably not defensively. I mean, definitely not defensively.
I don't want it. And I don't. You've talked about it a few times. I saw some national writer saying it might be a fit, but the fans aren't clamoring for this one. I remember when Tommy, what was that year? 2011 maybe?
Yeah.
Tommy's last year with the Twins. I remember when he was about done and it was obvious and the Indians could have used another hitter. There was a large clamoring to get Tommy by the fan base. And that was actually a waiver deal. It was after the July 31st deadline.
And his numbers were okay when he came here. He was like 40.
Yeah, he only played a little bit. I remember he got over 1,000 walks, I think it was was one of the cooler things, and he hit a couple home runs.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he was great, and he played very part-time. It was similar to what Giambi did in his final season as far as how much he was playing. It was not every day. But I remember there was this huge clamoring to get him back. And when they got Lofton back, there wasn't a clamoring for it because we didn't think it was a chance. But when it happened, everyone was super stoked. I think they sold out that first game in 2007. Yeah, when Lofton came back. I think I already had tickets for it and just happened to be, oh, wow, this Kenny Lofton. there's a definitely a claim for that. Asdrubal Cabrera was never as popular as those two were. He was largely
when they traded him.
He was largely hated for years because he was so good his first couple seasons and never lived up to that hype. As a second baseman, he was so great. And then they moved him to shortstop, and he had one really good defensive season. And then every year after that, and maybe he didn't have a good defensive season. Maybe it just looked like it because he was making those crazy plays. I mean, there's a level of difficulty. The one play I remember, and I remember all these really well because I was writing on Bringer for Baseball at the time, and I did a top 10 defensive plays, and they literally all could have been him. But one play in particular hit off the pitcher. He had to adjust, grabbed it bare hand, and flung it to first. And it was one of the craziest plays you'll ever see. And it was extremely difficult. But I wonder if maybe it was still a right place, right time thing, because he never did it again. Like the next 3 or 4 years, he was never that type of defender where he could make those amazing plays. And now, obviously, he's older, and you'd be getting him just for his bat.
They would. That's the whole fit. Like, I think the reason they do that is if they think all we've seen so far is that the updates are Francona saying that Kipnis and Chisenhall are weeks away. They're weeks away, and they haven't really like said much else beyond that. And they keep saying weeks away. So The only reason they go after Asdrubal Cabrera or somebody else is if they think that Kipnis is going to be out for a while, and they don't want to go with Gonzalez at second and Urshela at third and keep moving Jose around in the infield. Although the last 2 days have been really awesome having Urshela at third and Jose at second. That's clearly the best defensive alignment they have on the infield.
Yeah, and I'll say watching those games in California, the first time I saw them put infield and outfield out there together with Zimmer in center and Ramirez at second and Ursula at third, I'm like, this has got to be the best defense they've put on the field in a couple of years. And they made some spectacular plays. And then they made two boneheaded plays that just blew the whole a game. Guyer had that ball hit right off his glove in right field. And I can't remember what the other one was. It was something terrible.
Gomes backing up from home plate.
Oh, when he missed the tag.
Yeah.
I guess that wasn't that bad, but the two plays essentially cost him two wins, or at least keeping him in the game. Okay, I looked up something really quick because I think this is interesting. I like the extended look at Ursula and Gonzalez. And so I looked this up. Ursula is, according to the press guide, which is not always right, which got me blocked by Indians Insider on Twitter, pointing out that it's not always right. But according to that, Ursula should be out of options, and I know Gonzalez is out of options.
Yeah. Well, yes.
So why that matters and why it all fits is, like I said, I think the Indians have this division pretty much wrapped up. I'm really – every time someone talks about Kansas City, I'm like, what are you even talking about? They're not even going to sniff the wild card. They're not a good baseball team. It's not going to happen for them. I don't understand when people talk about it like they're scared of them, or when Kansas City fans talk like we're coming. It's like, no, you're done. Your time is over. It was the last couple of years. You had your shot, and it was really over last year. Like, you have to sell everything so you can get a new window. Like, that's how these things work. You have to sell your team now. You have to get rid of those great players and move on.
So, you know why people say is because Paul Hoynes and Tom Hamels and other people keep saying the Twins. Like, when the Twins supposedly, before the deal got turned down for Jaime Garcia, who, by the way, would be the maybe the fifth best starter on the Indians. I don't know if he'd even replace Bauer in the rotation or Tomlin. I doubt he
would. No, he's not as good as anyone.
Hoynes tweeted when the deal was supposedly done, saying the Twins are just not going to go away in the AL Central because they acquired Jaime Garcia. And then Hamilton said today on the radio that the Royals had a scout today at the game, which means they were probably targeting some Blue Jays pitcher. Maybe they wanted to trade for Happ or somebody else. So people think that, I mean, our own media is perpetuating that the Indians don't have the division wrapped up.
Well, there's different things. First thing is, we've discussed this before, don't listen to anything Hoynes says ever. The man is an idiot. So we can just toss that out. The second thing is, the people who run the Indians broadcast who actually work for the team, that's a separate thing. And they would have a vested interest in continuing that this thing isn't over yet. Because if people think that the season is over, why would you watch or listen to a game for the rest of the year until the postseason? They don't matter. You just, like, if you're just a casual fan and you care about them winning, but you know, once it's wrapped up, if they wrap this thing up early, I could see people not listening or watching on TV as much. I think they'd go to games more because it's way more fun to see a team that's, you know, 10 games ahead in the division. But I think maybe they could be worried about hurting their ratings. And Tom Hamilton loves the Royals.
He loves Eric Cosmer.
We know that. Yeah, he's obsessed. So we're aware that he loves them. And he's I didn't listen today. I was watching on STO today. But, you know, there have been times in the past where he's went into it and I've listened to it. And he said something like, why would you sell when you're only 3 games out of the division? Well, because Lorenzo Cain is worth a lot of prospects. He's a very good player. He's a
perennial 5 years
MVP, and you could really improve your team by trading him. That's why you'd want to sell, because you don't think you're going to win the World Series, and you have an asset that's going to expire at the end of the season.
And if you don't trade him or anybody else, you're going to suck for 4 or 5 more years as opposed to potentially being able to contend in the next 3 years if you start trading those pieces.
And I don't think, like, it's funny because he's a sabermetric dumbass, especially compared to some of the other Royals, which are not more original old school stat favorites.
Because he's one of the few Royals that actually gets on base and doesn't do about it.
Yeah, and I feel like their organization really loves the old school guys. And I've never heard Royals fans go crazy. Meep Kane, we got to re-sign him. There was never that huge thing like there was for who was it? Last year, a couple of years ago. They want to keep Moose, and they want to keep. Now my brain is gone. They signed Perez for long term, but they've got their guys that they really want to keep. I have not.
Oh, and Alex Gordon. Don't forget, they gave a ton of money to Alex Gordon, which is a great idea.
That's what I was thinking was Alex Gordon. Is they loved Alex Gordon. We got to keep him. We love Alcides Escobar. We got to bat him leadoff every single day because he helped us win the World when he was batting leadoff. So, like, they've got that stuff stuck in their head, but I never see Lorenzo Cain because he's one of the top outfielders in all of baseball. He is. And yet that's not where the focus is. It's never been on him. So trade him because you're not worried about signing him. Just trade him and get your benefit. Now, obviously, for the Indians in the future, who have the best farm system in baseball right now because they took it from the other teams that had the best farm systems in baseball. They're going to be great in short order, within a year or two probably.
By 2019, yeah.
Yeah, so legitimate contender in 5 years. I'm not saying now. Like, in 5 years, you've got one real super contender to face the Indians when hopefully they're, you know, got Mejia and McKenzie, the only two prospects anyone knows actually on the team. If the Royals sell now, they could potentially be in that running as well. If they don't, I think you've already knocked the Tigers are probably not, because they don't have much of a farm system and they didn't get much of a haul back for JD Martinez. And I think the Royals will take themselves out of that too. The Twins are different. They have a better farm system, I believe. I don't know a whole lot about them.
It's okay. It's not.
They've
great.
Got some guys in the Major League. Major League team that are really interesting and young, and Sano. Like, they've got some interesting names that are on the team already that are around for a while. Definitely picture the Twins competing in 2 or 3 years and the White Sox and the Indians still being. But you're really going to go all in in this thing? That's a joke to me.
They probably will, because they're stupid. I mean, they were dumb enough to give Alex Friedman a contract. The Royals are going to probably trade something. I don't know what they're going to get, but I don't think they have anything to trade at this point.
This whole line of thought started with why I'm okay with Ursula and Gonzalez A right now. Because Agnes and Chisenhall will both be back this season. And when they come back, then you'll have your normal lineup on the field by September, at least, like mid-August, to be at full strength. Everybody's ready to get ready for the postseason. Time. Let's look at these two guys because they're both out of options. So play them, trade them, or bench them. You cannot send them to AAA anymore after this season. So I would think they're probably keep one and trade one. One is which play. I think that the one they'd want to keep is Gonzalez, because they're going to keep him as a utility infielder no matter what. Thinking about doing something with Kipnis, like making him a DH or first baseman, is over to second and starting Ursula. Over Diaz doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. So there's a lot of different moving pieces here. And I think the most likely is that Kipnis stays and maybe Diaz DHs or something like that.
If they... I don't know what they're going to
do. Yeah, you have to decide between those two guys, and you're never going to get a better chance to decide than two starters being injured at the same time. With the team in first place... A decent, not a comfortable lead yet, but a lead. No other team's even really attempting to contend in the division. You're never going to get a better chance in this scenario to view these two players. So play them as much as you can every single day. Ursula's look good. I mean, really, offensively, I mean,
the bat. We know he's defensively.
I say defensively, he's always been that. I think offensively, he's looked pretty good.
I don't think he's looked any different than he ever has. He just missed a walk-off home run last night by, like, a foot. If it was a little windier, it would have been a home run.
But he's had a few hits, and, I mean, he's swinging the bat decently, at least. Again, you're not talking about him as a starter, probably. But at least this gives you a look at the two guys. And maybe you trade one of them before the deadline.
I think to get a reliever, maybe, yeah. I think Urshela is a good fit for somebody – who is looking for a stopgap third baseman until a top prospect's ready or something, and they just want a guy who goes out there and catches the ball. I mean, whenever the Orioles trade Manny Machado, I think Giovanni Urshela is a great third baseman for
his replacement. especially if you have – we've talked about it in previous seasons when the Indians had great hitting catching, which they don't now. Really well. Take a diminished output from a position that's usually a really high offensive output, like right field, or you can take a diminished offensive output from that position because you're getting a shortstop and catcher. So if you had another team that's getting the offensive output they need from their third base defensively, there's definitely value. Value in that, and he could be a starter for a team. I'm not saying he's a starter, an all-star, but he could start on a major league team just because of his glove.
Right, exactly, and so can
Gonzalez. Probably on a team, but yeah.
I think Gonzalez can too.
Yeah, so I think I could see them doing that, and even but Kipnis isn't bad. You still have Yandy Diaz, so if you trade Ursula, you just bring up Yandy, or if you trade Gonzalez, you just bring up. But
I don't think they're thinking about next year and all this. I don't think they're thinking about 2018 and all this, but on 2018, You can't have Yandy Diaz sitting in AAA and Giovanni Urshela still in your roster with options, without of options, because if Urshela is out of options, you're not going to be able to pass him through waivers. Somebody will claim him because of that glove. There's zero chance he gets through waivers next year if you have to option him down. But if you keep him, Yandy Diaz is sitting in AAA at age 27 and has never been given a real shot. So one of these guys can't be here next year. And if that's the case, trade one of them for something useful. And I'm okay with trading Diaz, even if it's if it gets better, and they could trade him.
It may not be now. It may be at the end of the season when things have settled down and they're more sure in their position. But it could be a deadline guy. I just think you need to see them now, because if you, let's say everybody was up playing, every starter was up playing right now at full strength, and you had these guys crushed at the end of the year, you know you have to trade one of them, or then what you have with them. They have to play at the major league level. They have to play regularly to learn anything about them.
Here's the real question. Why are Show at third? I get why, because the glove. But when they were so comfortable because he hit in spring training, and who gives a crap about spring training stats, I would think. But why were they so comfortable with Yandy Diaz opening the year at third with Kipnis on the DL, and now this time it's Urshela, because they need defense that badly? It's not like Diaz has a bad glove, even though they want to tell us that. But why not Diaz again? If they soured on him that much based on 40 at bats?
I think it might be what I just told you. So they have to get rid of one. And I think Diaz So I could see a situation where they see Diaz more of a long-term solution, and that's why they want to keep him down.
I guess, but why are you thinking about 2018 when you need to win in 2017?
To win. That's what I'm saying. They don't – it's not that big a deal. They need to win the division, but you can win the if you can win the division with Urshela, then win the division with Urshela.
They can. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So do that, and let's see him. And obviously, Yandy should be up
in September,
but definitely by September this time, and possibly even on the playoff roster, depending on how he plays. All that plays out. I think that's good for this week. Things with some Burning River Radio.
We won't talk again until the day before the trade deadline next year, or next week. I think next Monday is the trading deadline, so our next.
Well, it's Tuesday now, right? They moved it back 12 hours, I believe. Last season,
they only did it last year because July 31st is a Sunday.
Oh, okay.
They didn't want everybody playing. They wanted the off day. So, it's still Monday. Yeah.
Okay.
So. Real quick, do they need to do anything? What do you think they need to do, if they need to do anything? Because I don't think – if they're going to do something, I think we're going to miss the boat by a day on the podcast. So what do you think they need to do?
Pick up Lorenzo Cain. Stock a mad shit on him so they can get him.
Well, that would definitely end the Royals' hopes of catching the division. Everybody would shut up about the Royals.
No, he does nothing for him. He's useless. He's worthless. Just give him to us, and that way you don't have to worry about him being a free agent.
On game. So that's it? Trade for nobody?
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, like, and you made a comment the other day about how Kyle Crockett's had some misfortunes, apparently, in his life.
Yeah.
That he didn't get the call-up over Tyler Olson. Although I don't have anything against Tyler Olson, necessarily. I've never really seen a pitch.
I don't understand it.
But I think between Crockett and Armstrong and, I guess, Olson, and, you know, I think between all those guys, they can figure a bullpen out. I'm really – you don't need to trade – you think about – okay, so the best pitcher last year was Andrew Miller, and he had years of control and whatnot, and it took the top-hitting prospect, like their second or third best pitching prospect, their top two relief prospects. So that's a large haul for one reliever. It's half of that to get Brad Hand. You're still trading. I don't think they would trade Zimmer. but he would be like the equivalent of Frazier to a point. So you're trading
Naquin. Not
McKenzie, but
I'm just saying in general, a reliever that's reliable.
I hate saying Mejia and McKenzie because everybody says those two in every single trade because it's the only two guys they know.
Right.
And that really annoys me. They're not going to trade McKenzie for anybody. And they may trade – you've given some decent arguments on why they could trade Mejia. So you could be talking about like trading Tyler Krieger, Mark Mathias, Yu-Chang Chang.
Bradley.
Bobby Bradley definitely would be up there. You know, talking about training those guys and needing
four. Will Castro is the other one too, yeah.
Yeah, needing four or five of those players to go out and get a guy like Brad Hand. There's no way near that. There's no way that's worth it because you've already got three relief aces. If you need a Ruben Carrasco Salazar in it and more than three relief aces, maybe you're not going to win a World Series anyway.
Maybe. I don't know. If Logan's done for the year, which he probably is, I would still like to see.
But Logan was not that great. Logan was not that much better than Crockett has been.
Okay, but they won't call Kyle Crockett.
They will eventually. Eventually. And we'll see what Tyler Olson does. If Olson sucks, they'll bring up Crockett. They have to have two lefties. They have to have two lefties because of the way they use Miller. You can't use Miller like that and have him be the loogie. He's not a loogie.
That's why I say get another left-handed reliever somehow. Not necessarily Brad Hand, and I'm not saying I know who else is out there on the market, but find somebody.
I don't know. Is Mark Zibchinski still playing?
I think he's on the Mariners, and they think they're contending for some reason, so I don't think they're trading him.
Okay, so that's a bad one. How about is Drew Pomeranz still playing?
Yeah, the Red Sox think he's actually a pretty good starter for some reason.
Yeah, so that's not gonna work. I can only do players that used to play. Tony Sipp's on Houston. There's no way they're letting him go.
Yeah. Are you thinking of ex-Indians? That's why I keep bringing up Drupal Cabrera because they love ex-Indians.
That would be the joke. That they can only sign someone who used to. How about Scott Sauerbach? Is he dead from alcohol poisoning?
In the bushes somewhere.
I thought you actually had a story for me. Now you're telling jokes.
I don't know. I mean,
he came up in a discussion.
Nick Hagedon, the Mariners actually released Nick Hagedon probably because he punched a wall and
another one. Nick Hagedon, who taught us the lessons of breaking your hamate bone and what you're allowed to and not allowed to say in a clubhouse.
I don't know. Left-handed relievers. If Pittsburgh thinks they're going to sell Felipe Rivera, but they've won like, I don't know, 10 of their last 12. So I guess they're going to hang on. I don't know. There you go. Justin Wilson from the Tigers. There you go. They were going to trade for JD Martinez. So why not Justin Wilson?
Sounds good.
I don't know. Just
want to bring up Thomas Pinone.
There you go. Bring up Thomas Pinone or shit. Put Brady Aiken in the bullpen. I mean, why not?
He won't. Julian Merriweather or something. Who cares?
Brady Aiken won't give up any hits. He'll just walk every batter.
Well, that's fine. You know, that was Bob Wickman's strategy.
Worked out well occasionally.
All right, that's got to be it for tonight.
Yeah,
it's good to be back. We'll have all sorts of massive trades going on next week, and the Indians got Aaron Judge and Manny Machado. I've been Joe Koblitz at Burning River BB. Make sure to go to burningriverbaseball.com to check out our stuff. We have two new writers joining us that have joined us in the last couple of weeks, Pete Conti and Jay Allen. I should probably tell you how to find them, but I'm not going to. I think it's at Jay Allen CLE.
Yes, that sounds right.
It's Jay. And then Pete Conti, I believe, is either Indians 488 or Yanks 488 because he keeps changing it back and forth.
Indians fan or about the Yankees, who knows?
Yeah, just search for Pete Conti, and if he's Indians, then follow him, and if he's not, then don't follow him. And of course, you can follow Justin Latta at his house and on Twitter at JL_baseball. He likes to make new friends in real life too, so go meet him at a Lake County game. I'll speak eventually. We'll be back with you next week for more of the same. Go Tribe.